And God is good all the time. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. I'm going to invite you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 16. John chapter 16 in your Bibles, verses 5 is going to be our focus this morning. And I just want to remind you as you're turning there that this Thursday is our potluck for our Paramount campus Thursday night, so you're invited to come back. We're going to eat in the fellowship hall, and then we're going to come into the sanctuary for worship and an exhortation, time of exhortation and testimony. If anybody needs a bulletin, you could raise your hand. One of the ushers will give you a bulletin as they come down the row, and you could help take notes. And I want to welcome all those that are watching online. Let's make some noise for them watching online. We invite you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 15, verses 5. When everybody's there, say amen. It reads like this. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage. Someone say advantage. To your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Verse 12. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, someone say he, when he, the Spirit of truth has come, he, someone say he will guide you into all truth, for he, someone say he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray for understanding of your word, Lord God. Challenge us this morning. Equip us this morning through your word. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. I think it was 1995, and I think I was 19 years old, and we were having an ordination ceremony for one of the brothers that we were serving the Lord with. And an ordination ceremony is a really, really big thing in the kingdom of God. It's like becoming a made man in the mafia. It's like a big ceremony, and there was going to be a couple hundred people in the church, and amongst them, a couple hundred people, there was going to be like 30 pastors and elders from the church. And the pastor asked me if I would give the sermon that night. And when he asked me that, all of a sudden, a spirit of terror begin to strike me, because this was going to be my first sermon ever. And they say that people are more afraid of public speaking than they are of snakes. And so I ran back to my room, and I began to study, and I began to prepare, and I began to take notes. And I remember that night, the church was full of people, and my knees were buckling, and my knees were shaking. And I grabbed my Bible, and I went and put it on the pulpit. And I didn't want to look up. I didn't want to look up because it felt like everybody was looking at me. It felt like everybody was staring at me. But there came a point when I put my Bible down, even in the midst of my fear and anxiety. I took a deep breath, and simultaneously I was like, you know what? I'm just going to step out in faith. Just going to step out in faith. And at the same time that I kind of took a deep breath, the Lord God filled me with his Holy Spirit. He began to fill me with boldness. He began to fill me with courage. He began to fill me with clarity of thought. And I begin to preach like a madman. I just begin to preach. I don't remember what I said. I can't tell you what I preached specifically about, but the Holy Spirit took over. And by the time I closed my Bible and I walked away from the podium, everybody was up on their feet giving glory to Jesus and praising Jesus. And I'll never forget that moment because it was the first time that I encountered the Holy Spirit in such a powerful, powerful way. I encountered him in such a powerful way. And the reason why I'm saying this morning is because those type of encounters should not be happening every 5 years or every 10 years. But as citizens in the kingdom of God, we should have a regular encounter with the Holy Spirit. Can somebody say amen to that? As citizens of the kingdom of God, we should be regularly filled with the Holy Ghost. In fact, being filled and led by the Holy Spirit is going to be a key to your fruitfulness in your service to God. And so, my brothers and sisters, for the next 4 weeks, I'm going to be starting a teaching series entitled Kingdom Power. Someone say Kingdom Power. We're going to be starting this series today, and I want to challenge you to commit the next 4 Sundays to the Lord in church as we study together. And I want to encourage you to bring your pencil, bring your Bible, bring a notepad, because I want us together to discover the Holy Spirit. My prayer is for the next 4 weeks, together as we look to the scriptures, we discover the Holy Spirit together. Now, I don't know if you realize this or not, but I would dare say that in a lot of Christian lives, that Holy Spirit is probably the most ignored person in their life. Did you catch that? In a lot of Christians' lives, the Holy Spirit is probably the most ignored person in their life. And so I want to take this next 4 weeks to study the scriptures and to learn together who the Holy Spirit is, what the Holy Spirit does, and what the Holy Spirit brings. This is what we're going to learn for the next 4 weeks, including today. Who the Holy Spirit is, what the Holy Spirit does, and what the Holy Spirit brings. So I want to encourage you to track with us, learn with us, grow with us. Now, our church's theme is bringing the kingdom down. Bringing the kingdom down. That's our theme. That's our desire. That's our prayer. We want to see the kingdom of God manifested in our places and spaces in life. We want to see the kingdom of God manifested in our marriage. We want to see the kingdom of God manifested at our work, in our school, in our home, in our community. We want to see the kingdom of God manifested. And I want to remind us that we cannot do that on our own. We cannot do that in our own strength. We cannot do that in our own knowledge. How many know that we need backup? We need power. And I'm going to suggest to you that we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to bring the kingdom down in our generation. I was studying the subject of the Holy Spirit in the life of Apostle Paul, and he acknowledges that the key to his fruitfulness was the power or the person of the Holy Spirit in his life. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul says, "My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." How many believe that we need a demonstration of the Spirit of God? Right? I want to see a demonstration of the Spirit of God everywhere I go. It's not just for the church house, but a demonstration of the Spirit is for your marriage, it's for your home, it's for your work, it's for your school, it's for your community. God wants you to bring or facilitate a demonstration of the Spirit and of power wherever you go. Are you following along this morning? In order for us to facilitate a demonstration of the Spirit and His power, we first got to get to know the Holy Spirit. We got to know who He is. We got to know what He's about. We need a balanced biblical view of the person and work of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to say this again. We need a balanced biblical view of the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Not what you heard about the Holy Spirit, not what you may have saw about the Holy Spirit, not what somebody may have said about the Holy Spirit, but what does the Scripture teach us about the Holy Spirit? And so I'm going to endeavor, my prayer for these next 4 weeks is to give us, Chapel of Change, a balanced biblical vision of the Holy Spirit so that hopefully you may have demonstrations of the Spirit and power in your life. Amen? That's our goal. That's our challenge for the next 4 weeks. Now, today, we are going to be tackling the subject, who is he or who he is, who he is. And we have three biblical truths about the Holy Spirit. I want you to follow along. Three important biblical truths about the Holy Spirit. And someone say number one. Number one, the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. Now get this. Your view of the Holy Spirit is very, very critical in your walk with the Lord. Your view of the Holy Spirit is critical. And again, we need a biblical view of who the Holy Spirit is. Because if you view Him wrong, you'll treat Him wrong. If you view Him wrong, write that down. If you view Him wrong, you'll treat Him wrong. I want you to write that down if you got a pencil. If you view Him wrong, you'll treat Him wrong. And a lot of people have a wrong view of the Holy Spirit. In fact, I would suggest that the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, for many believers, He's the most misunderstood person in their life. For a lot of believers, He's the most misunderstood person in His life because they have a wrong view of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to say this again. If you view Him wrong, you'll treat Him wrong. Now, the first thing that we need to understand about the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit is a person. Someone say the Holy Spirit is a person. Now, the person of the Holy Spirit is affirmed by the use of pronouns to describe Him. The person of the Holy Spirit is affirmed by the use of pronouns to describe Him. Anybody remember what pronouns are? Remember junior high? I hope you didn't skip English class. But pronouns describe a person. Pronouns describe a person. Now look how Jesus describes the Holy Spirit in John chapter 15. Listen to this. In verse 7, He says, I will send Him. Someone say Him. I will send Him to you. Look at verse 8. When he has come, He will convict the world of sin. Look at verse 13. When He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you of into all truth. Now listen, when you study verses 5 all the way down to verses 15, you will learn that 11 times Jesus describes the Holy Spirit with a pronoun. He describes the Holy Spirit as either He or Him, and this further gives evidence that the Holy Spirit is a person. Someone say person. The reason why I'm saying this is because the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is not a force. The Holy Spirit is not a power. The Holy Spirit is not goosebumps. I'm going to say this again. I'm going to repeat myself because I want you to get it. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is not a force. The Holy Spirit is not even power. And the Holy Spirit is not goosebumps. The Holy Spirit is a person. And the problem is a lot of Christians are falling in love with what the Holy Spirit does more than who He is. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? Don't fall in love with me for what I do. Fall in love with me for who I am. A lot of Christians, they've fallen in love with the function of the Holy Spirit and not the person of the Holy Spirit. And I think that's wrong. If you did that with your spouse, you wouldn't be a spouse for too long. Are you following along? Talk back to me now, just don't act crazy. The Holy Spirit is a person. Also, the person of the Holy Spirit is also affirmed through his personal attributes. His personal attributes. Now, I'm going to kick off some verses. I'm going to launch some verses at you. Listen to this. Romans chapter 8, verse 27 says the Holy Spirit has a mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11 says the Holy Spirit has a will. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 says the Holy Spirit has emotions. In fact, Ephesians 4, 30 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. You know you could hurt the Holy Spirit? You know you can make the Holy Spirit cry per se? And every time you go to do something and you get that check in your spirit, that's the Holy Spirit trying to tell you, don't do it. Stop. When you get that check in your spirit, you ain't got to call nobody to ask if it's right or wrong. It's wrong. That's wrong. And if you keep doing that, you will grieve the Holy Ghost. And you can't have a strong fellowship with somebody you keep making cry and offend. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? So the Holy Spirit has emotions. And then in Acts chapter 8, verse 29, the Holy Spirit can speak. The Holy Spirit can speak. These are all, get this, personal attributes. These are all personal attributes, and they give evidence to that the Holy Spirit is a person. Now, again, it's important to view the Holy Spirit correctly and to know that he is a person, because you can develop a relationship with a person. You could interact with a person. You can talk to a person. You can't develop a relationship with an it. You can't develop a relationship with a force. You can't develop a relationship with goosebumps. But if you understand that the Holy Spirit is a person, you can develop a relationship with a person, a fellowship with a person. In fact, I would suggest to us this morning that more than anything else, the Holy Spirit wants to develop a fellowship with us. More than anything else, the Holy Spirit wants to develop a fellowship with us. And again, he is probably the most ignored person in a lot of Christians' lives. Let's run a test real fast. Some of y'all take you 30 to 40 minutes to get to work. You drive to work for about 30 to 40 minutes. When is the last time you talked to the Holy Spirit on the way to work? If you can't remember the last time you talked to the Holy Spirit on the way to work, that means subconsciously you think of him as an it. You've been ignoring him all every day. And somebody who gets ignored for too long, they ain't going to be very happy. Can I get an amen? So you can't develop a relationship with an it, but you can develop a relationship with the person. And probably the most important thing the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life is develop a relationship or a fellowship with you and to strengthen. In fact, when we talk about walking with the Lord, we're actually walking with the Holy Spirit. When we talk about walking, journeying with the Lord, we're actually talking about walking with the Holy Spirit. Let me read the scripture to you in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. Listen to this. Paul's pouring out his heart to us. He wants us to get something here. Listen to what he says. He says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Listen to this. Paul wants us to experience something here. And he talks about the grace of the Lord Jesus. He talks about the love of God. And he talks about the communion of the Holy Spirit. Listen, when you think of Jesus, 9 times out of 10, you automatically think of grace. You automatically think of grace. When you think of the Father, 9 times out of 10, you automatically think of love. Why? Because God is love. But when you think of the Holy Spirit, you ought to be thinking about communion. You ought to be thinking about fellowship. Now listen, this word communion doesn't mean communion as the Lord's Supper. That's not what it's referring to. This word communion means a deep, deep fellowship, a deep, deep relationship. And it describes how the Holy Spirit wants a relationship, a communion with us. Now listen, you know about the grace of Jesus. You know about the love of the Father. But have you encountered the fellowship of the Holy Ghost? Have you encountered, have you experienced the fellowship of the Holy Spirit? Now I know for me, serving the Lord for over 20 years, my connection and my fellowship with the Holy Spirit has been key to my Christian walk. I've not been able to do it without the Holy Spirit, or I should say, I could not have done it without the Holy Spirit. That my connection, my fellowship, my relationship with the Holy Spirit has been key to my endurance, key to my joy, key to my passion in serving the kingdom of God. It is because I've learned how to talk with the Holy Spirit, lean on the Holy Spirit, you know, and you know, this has filled me with passion and joy and love. The Holy Spirit has been my comforter. The Holy Spirit has empowered me, has directed me. The Holy Spirit directs me, and the Holy Spirit heals me. The Holy Spirit heals me. One of the reasons why, this is my own personal testimony, but one of the reasons why I can heal easily off of offense and just being bruised by the everyday things of the world is because I've learned to lean on the Holy Spirit, and He patches me up as we go. He patches me up. The Holy Spirit is like a corner man to a boxer. You ever seen a boxing fight? The boxer goes out in the ring and he throws jabs. He gets cut up. He gets bruised. But the moment he goes back to the corner, his corner man, he patches him up. He anoints him. He puts bandage on him and he sends him back out to the arena to throw some blows again. That's what the Holy Spirit does in the life of the believer. He patches us up as we journey with Him. An it can't do that. A force can't do that. Goosebumps don't do that. So, the first thing we need to understand is that the Holy Spirit is a person. The second thing we need to understand is that the Holy Spirit is the most important person in the world. I wanna up your view of the Holy Spirit. I want to elevate your view of the Holy Spirit. Now where I get this is at verse 7. Jesus says something that is shocking and is so deep. Listen to what he says in verse 7. He says, "It is to your advantage." Someone say advantage. "It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you." What are you talking about, Jesus? This don't make sense to me. I want to walk with you. I want to talk with you. I want to be there when you heal people. I want to, you know, how many of us have dreamed, man, if I could only live with Jesus, if I could only been there in the gospel with Jesus. And you know what he says? He says, no. It is to your advantage that I go away, that the Holy Spirit might come up to you and might be with you. In other words, you have an advantage with the Holy Ghost. You have an advantage. The Holy Spirit gives you an advantage. Listen, if you're not walking around with an attitude of advantage, you're not leaning on the Holy Spirit. I know everywhere I go, I walk with an attitude of advantage, not because of who I am, but because of who is inside of me. Jesus. He said it's to your advantage. He gives us an advantage over the world. He gives us an advantage over circumstances. He gives us an advantage. The Holy Spirit is the most important person in the whole world. The reason is because the Holy Spirit was sent to finish the work of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit was sent to finish the work of Jesus Christ on earth. Listen, when you think of the Old Testament is primarily the work of the Father. The Gospels is the work of Jesus, but do you know that we're living in the time of the Holy Spirit? We're living in the time of the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. The Old Testament was the work of the Father. The Gospels was the work of the Son. But now we are living in this unique climatic period of redemptive history known as the days of the Holy Spirit. I want to put you on notice. I want to put you on notice that we are living in the days of the Holy Spirit, that God the Father prophesied in Joel that there's going to come a time where I pour my Spirit out upon all flesh. On all flesh. And we are living it. Stop dreaming about yesteryear and live in the now with the advantage that you got in the Holy Spirit. In the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to put you on notice that we're living in the days of the Holy Spirit because, my brothers and sisters, it's very interesting. It's very interesting that at every period of time in which a part of the Trinity or the Godhead worked in, for example, Old Testament, the work of the Father, the time of the Gospels was the work of the Son. We believe in the Trinity. We believe in the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But notice this. Every period of time in which a certain part of the Godhead worked in, the people rejected him. Did you catch that? Old Testament. You know what the Jewish nation did by and far? They rejected the Father. They said, we don't want you as our king. We want our own king. Therefore, give us Saul. Remember that? Right? By and far, they complained and they rejected the Father. Okay? So they rejected the Father in the Old Testament by and large. Jesus comes to the earth and the Godhead of Jesus comes to the earth in the gospel. What do they do with him? They reject him. The Bible says that the Jews rejected the chief cornerstone. They rejected Jesus. Now, my brothers and sisters, I want to put us on notice. I want to put us on notice that we are living in the days of the Holy Spirit. May we not fall victim to what happened in previous generations where they rejected the work of God in their generation. We have an opportunity and a responsibility to honor and know the Holy Ghost. We have an opportunity to know the Holy Spirit. May we not reject them like other generations rejected what God was doing. And what's cold, my brothers and sisters, is that you have a lot of Christians that are actually afraid of the Holy Spirit. Somehow or another, the enemy has tricked us to be afraid of our advantage, to not receive our advantage. The Holy Spirit is the most important person in all the world. You know why he's the most important person in all the world? Because it's the Holy Spirit that actuates the plans and the purposes of the Father. It is the Holy Spirit that actuates or performs or accomplishes the will and the purpose of the Father on earth. So let me break that down. When you get saved, guess who saves you? The Holy Spirit regenerates you. We know that we're saved by the cross. We know that we're saved by the finished work of Jesus on the cross. But the moment you repent of your sins, the moment you accept Jesus Christ in your heart, it is the Holy Spirit that actuates that salvation in your heart. Are you following along? It is the Holy Spirit that delivers you. It is the Holy Spirit that heals you. It is the Holy Spirit that makes Christianity distinct and different from every other belief in this world. You take the Holy Spirit out of Christianity and you got nothing but a dead religion. You take the Holy Spirit out of this church, you have nothing but a dead institution. You take the Holy Spirit out of a believer, out of a Christian's life, you got nothing but a dead man walking. It is the Holy Spirit that is paramount to the life of a citizen in the kingdom of God. We can't ignore him, we can't shun him, and we should not be afraid of him. And so I come to give you a little bit of shock therapy today. Because I believe a huge part of our generation is ignoring and even afraid of the Holy Spirit. Because they don't have a biblical view of who he is. And I cannot put enough value. I cannot put enough value on the Holy Spirit. This is one of the reasons why Apostle John says in 1 John 4:4, he says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in you that is in the world. Somebody needs to memorize that verse because you're being bombarded with depression. You're being bombarded with discouragement. You're being bombarded with negativity. And how is it that you could hang your head low when you got the greater one inside of you? How is it that we could just hang our head low when greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world? We got the most important person inside of us. You are wall to wall Holy Ghost. There's only a half of inch of skin separating your neighbor from the Holy Ghost that is inside of you. This helps me in my Christian walk, because I know everywhere I go, I'm taking God with me. Here's the last truth that I need us to understand. It's probably the most important truth, is that the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God. Now, the Bible teaches what we refer to as the Trinity. Someone say Trinity. A more precise biblical word is Godhead. But the Trinity teaches we have one God who eternally exists as three distinct persons. Write that down. One God who eternally exists as three distinct persons. So we believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We believe in the tri-unity of God. Tri is three, unity is one, which includes, get this, the divinity of the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit is God. The Bible teaches over and over that the Holy Spirit is God. And I want to remind you of this because we need to up our view of the Holy Spirit. We need to up our view of the Holy Spirit. Now listen to this. The simplest evidence for this is the frequent title Scripture gives the Holy Spirit. Over and over again, the Holy Spirit, or the Scripture, titles the Holy Spirit with the Spirit of God or God's Spirit. The Spirit of God or God's Spirit. For example, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, in the creation, it says, and the Spirit of who? God was hovering over the face of the water. So we see the Holy Spirit in creation. Now you go to Genesis 6:3, it says, and the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever. So over and over again, the Bible refers to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of God or God's Spirit. I'm going to show you another verse in Ezekiel 36, verse 27. Listen to what it says. I will put my spirit, someone say my spirit. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. He didn't say I'm going to put some angel spirit inside of you. He didn't say I'm going to put somebody else's spirit inside of you. What does he say? This is God the Father. He says, I'm going to put my spirit inside of you. Do you know what's inside of you? This is why John says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, because the Spirit of God is inside of you. Listen to what he says in 1 Corinthians 3:16. He says, do you not know that you are the temple of God? That's referring to your body. That's referring to your person. Do you know that you don't belong to yourself no more? Do you know that your body belongs to God? Do you know that you're bought with a price? Do you know that you belong to God? Does anybody belong to God in this house today? Anybody belong to God? Listen to what it says. Do you not know that you are the temple of God? You belong to God. So that means you cannot do whatever you want to do with yourself. That's what that means. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? So, my brothers and sisters, it affirms that the Spirit of the Lord is God. But I'm going to give you some other scriptural evidence. The Holy Spirit is God is also affirmed by his divine attributes. His divine attributes. Listen to this. I'm going to shoot out some scriptures. In Hebrews chapter 9, it says that the Spirit of the Lord is eternal. Someone say eternal. That means he has no beginning and he has no end. But wait up. Doesn't the Bible say that God is eternal? The only one that is eternal is God. But the Scripture also says that the Spirit is eternal. Is there two gods? No, there's one God. Well, what do you get out of that? The Spirit of the Lord is God. Psalms 139. Says that the Spirit is everywhere. He's omnipresent. Well, isn't the only one that is omnipresent everywhere God? Yes, the only one who is omnipresent is God. Well, it says the Spirit is out everywhere. What does that mean? The Spirit is God. I love Job chapter 33, verse 4, I would encourage you to memorize. Listen to what it says. The Spirit of God has made me. I thought you said God is the creator. God is the creator. But it just said the Spirit of God made me. Hello, somebody. The Spirit is God. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gave me life. I thought you said Jesus gives us life. Jesus does give you life. But it says right here, the Spirit gives you life. Well, they're one. Remember the Trinity. One God who eternally exists as three distinct persons. Only God can be these things and do these things. I'm trying to help us to raise the bar for how we view the Holy Spirit. I'm trying to help us to raise the bar for how we view the Holy Spirit. Because, my brothers and sisters, we need to reverence Him more. We need to reverence the Holy Spirit to a greater degree. The Holy Spirit is not your sidekick. The Holy Spirit is not your little buddy. The Holy Spirit is not your teammate. The Holy Spirit is the coach that calls the plays of your lives. I'm going to say that again. The Holy Spirit is the coach that calls the plays in your lives. You don't check in with the coach when you get down to the field. You check in with the coach before you get to the field. Are you following along? The Holy Spirit is the coach. Many of us, we subconsciously view the Holy Spirit as a teammate just to do life with. And then when things fall apart, that's when we cry back out to God. Oh, Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, help me. And the Holy Spirit's looking at you and say, well, you know, I'll help you as much as I can. But you didn't call upon me before you called that play. You didn't even check in with me before you ran that play. The Holy Spirit is the coach that calls the plays of our life. Can I make it more plainer? You don't just pick a spouse. You don't just go pick a spouse and you say, well, I got goosebumps over her. The Holy Spirit ain't goosebumps. You don't just go pick a career. You don't just go pick a job. Do you know you're going to spend the most of your waking hours at your career job? You don't just go pick a career. You check that in with the Holy Spirit. Because if you don't check it in with the Holy Spirit before, you're going to come 25 years later and say, man, what did I do with my life? And the Holy Spirit is going to say, man, you didn't check that in. Remember 25 years ago? You don't just quit your job. You check that in with the Holy Spirit. You check that in with the Holy Spirit. And as we go today, my brothers and sisters, if there's one thing that I want you to take away, that it's time we start checking in with the Holy Spirit. It's time that we give our decisions over to the Holy Spirit. It's time that we stop asking, Holy Spirit, get this. We stop asking, Holy Spirit, fill me up as if you want to use the Holy Spirit. And we start saying, Holy Spirit, how can I submit to you more? How can I give my life to you more? If you always ask, fill me up, you're trying to use them. You need to switch it up and say, how can I submit to you more, Holy Spirit? How can I give my life to you? How can I live and abide in you more? Somebody needs to check in today. Somebody needs to check in. I'm going to end with this scripture in Acts chapter 15, verse 28. Acts chapter 15 is the culmination of a major conflict that was taking place in the church. And you have to study it on your own, but I'm going to summarize what's going on. Some believers crept into the church, and they literally tried to take the Holy Spirit out of the church and out of the process of salvation, because some false believers were saying that whenever you got converted to Jesus, you had to also obey the law of Moses in order to be saved. That's what they were saying. They said you had to obey the law in order to be saved. And in effect, they were trying to take the Holy Spirit out of the church, because how many of you know you're not saved by your works? You're only saved by grace. And as a response for that, the Holy Spirit regenerates your soul. So this became a major, major argument in the church, and Apostle Paul and Barnabas were arguing over this, and they sent them to Jerusalem to the apostles, and the apostles begin to debate the issue. They begin to, you know, discuss the issue, and I love how they tell us how they came to a conclusion, right? Listen to what they say. They say in Acts 15:28, they says, "For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit." I love that. "It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay no greater burden on you than these few requirements." What am I saying? They checked their decision in with the Holy Spirit. Before they came to the conclusion, they didn't just say it seemed good to us and we think it's okay and we're siding up with it. No, they said it seemed good to the Holy Spirit. And so I want to challenge you, my brothers. I want to challenge you, my sisters. When you walk out of here today and you're faced with a decision tomorrow morning, you better check that thing in with the Holy Ghost. You better check it in with the Holy Spirit. You better, are you getting married? You better check that in with the Holy Ghost. Are you thinking of something to do big in your life? You better check it in with the Holy Ghost. Are you thinking to do something small in your life? You better check it in with the Holy Ghost. Listen, if you check it in with the Holy Spirit, it'll relieve you of a lot of grief 10 years from now. It'll relieve you from a lot of stress if you just check it in with the Holy Spirit. Touch your neighbor and say, check it in. Check it in. Check it in. Check it in. Let's bow our heads. With every head bowed and every eye closed. As the worship team comes up, I want us just to reflect on how God spoke to us this morning. What is it that the Lord was trying to get to you through this message, and how are you going to apply it to your life? Just for the next couple moments, let's bow our heads and our hearts and reflect upon the Word of God.